Father, again tonight, we thank you for being together in unity and oneness. Father, we thank you for the precious anointing, the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides and teaches us. And Lord, we pray that we would have hearts that will hear, hearts prepared by your Spirit. And the Father, as we hear the word, so we may mix faith with that which we hear. And above all, that our meeting tonight will glorify and honor the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, tonight I want to base our teaching in Luke 21, verses 34 to 36 of Luke 21, verses 34 to 36. And I'd like to read this out first, and then we're going to look at this. Luke 21, verse 34 to 36. And the Lord says this, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that the day come on you expectantly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray, always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And tonight I'm calling this to Jesus Reveals the Importance of Watching. Jesus reveals the importance of watching. Now, the emphasis, I think we've already picked up, is in watching. But it's those who have a prayer life will really qualify in this question. And so those who are watchful, Jesus says, are those who also are men and women of prayer, intercession, and supplication. Now, why does prayer make us watchful? There are many passages, and we will look at this in the scriptures, where it speaks about being watchful, and very often it's connected also with prayer, or having a prayer life, or the church in prayer, and so on. And I want to firstly, to answer this question, look at this under three areas as to why does prayer make us watchful? Because the Bible is absolutely clear on this, that it does. Well, firstly in this, prayer is obviously, its nature is to commune with God, but also allowing the Holy Spirit to impart to you prayer that is led by the Spirit. And this is important. There's a lot of soulish prayers that go on. There's a lot of prayers that are just based on prayer lists. There's a lot of praying that goes on just praying out of the common prayer book or out of some literature. But really, what the Bible reveals and what Jesus is speaking about, prayer that is led by the Spirit, prayer that comes from the heart of man, prayer where you go into your closet and you meet with the Lord and you are communing and fellowshipping with him. You're in prayer. So this is firstly how prayer should be in order to make us watchful, particularly for these last days, which is so essential. And there's a lot of confusion with prayer. Prayer lacks tremendously in the house of God. Jesus said, "My house is a house of prayer." Many Christians only pray when they go to church, or might have a quick prayer at home. But their lives are not really characterized in prayer, consecrated in prayer. in communion with God. And really this is essential if we're going to be people who are going to be watchful in this last day. So that's the first reason why I believe it's important for us to pray and to be watchful. And the second area in this is that prayer will bring about a change and preparing one for the last days. So to be watchful, to be able to discern the things of the last days in which we live, we therefore need to have a prayer life and to be men and women of prayer, because prayer is going to be able to, for you to be able to see and interpret the things of this last day. There are many things that are going around today about the coming of the Lord or the near coming of the Lord. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of confusion also about the teaching of the book of Revelation and interpreting Israel. And the reason being is because a lot of Christians don't really pray. And prayer helps us to be able to discern. Prayer helps us to be able to understand the Word of God and to be taught by the Spirit and by revelation, which we are to be taught by. And so if we don't really have a prayer life and in communion with God, we're not really going to be able to discern, and therefore we're not going to really be watchful. And a lot of our watching is going to merely come out of speculation or things that we read or things that we hear, but it's not really going to be divinely shown to you personally. Jesus said, without a vision, my people perish. And that vision is not only a corporal vision, but it's an individual vision as well that needs to be in your heart to be able to discern, to be able to see, to be able to test the things of this last day. But it can only come out of a life that you have with prayer, because prayer, coupled with the Word of God, gives us that discernment to be able to test and read the signs of the last day. And thirdly, the reason for prayer that makes us watchful is that prayer encourages and empowers the bride to make herself ready. You see, I believe that the bride who is now making herself ready, which the bride must do, that is the church, the body of Christ, in order to be ready and to see the Lord Jesus Christ, she is also a bride that prays, that intercedes, that supplicates. Because it's the very prayer life that she has empowers her in order that she can make herself ready, along with the Word of God that she receives and hears. You see, she makes herself ready by being watchful and guarding her garments. And that's the whole point. How can the bride really make herself ready unless she's discerning and being watchful and is discerning the signs and the times of which we live? It all has to work together. A bride isn't going to make herself ready unless she's discerning and seeing that the day is approaching for marriage. A bride and groom that make them that marry and prepare for their marriage set a date, and they move toward that date preparing. Well, we know that Jesus doesn't give us a literal date, but he has called us to be able to discern, to test, to see the signs of the times, to look to Israel and so on. But all of that can only really be achieved spiritually if we are men and women of prayer. And so prayer makes the bride watchful. And so that she's watchful, she guards her garments so that they don't become spotted. And the only way her garments can be kept clean is that she is of prayer. And that is why Jesus said, my church is a church of prayer. And this falls so short of the standard today amongst so many churches. People want to go and sing songs and have a great time of worship and praise, and they want to sit down and have a good sermon. But when you also get them to pray, to intercede and supplicate, churches fall short. You find that that sorts out the men from the boys every time. Why, even Jesus, on his night of betrayal, was let down badly by the disciples who couldn't even keep awake to pray with him. And how we see that today spiritually amongst so many churches and believers. And yet, here we are in Luke 21, Jesus reveals the importance of watching, and that watching is connected with praying. So there I've given three reasons why prayer is important. I'm going to repeat these again so that we can just get this into our hearts. Firstly, I said that prayer is communing with God and allowing the Holy Spirit to impart to you prayer led by the Spirit, not just prayer lists or soulish praying or just prayers out of prayer books, but prayer that is led by the Spirit. Supplication, intercession, prayers of thanksgiving. Then secondly, I just said to you that prayer will bring about a change and preparing one for the last days. And so for us to be prepared for these last days, we've got to be men and women of prayer in order that prayer will prepare us, that will get us ready, discerning, watchful, and so on. And thirdly, prayer encourages and empowers the bride to make herself ready. She makes herself ready by being watchful and guarding her garments and overcoming in all things. So there are the three areas that I believe are very important in these last days. Now, looking back to Luke 21, verses 34 to 36, I want to look now at verse 34, in which here Jesus says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that the day come on you unexpectedly." And we can get an understanding of this in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. I just want to read this quickly to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. And here he brings out a similar vein here to what we've just read, what Jesus said. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." So, Jesus reveals here that the pleasures of life is going to be a real hindrance to believers in the last days. And I believe that is exactly how the enemy is working in attacking the true body, the Church of Jesus Christ, the true body of Christ. And he's trying to do it through the pleasures and hindrances of this world. There are many that try to take our attention away of preparing, overcoming. There are many hindrances we find that just try and stop us from praying, whether it's the family or children have got to be seen to or whatever, or you just get into prayer and you find that the phone starts ringing and it just doesn't stop. There's so many things that the enemy just tries to hinder us from having our time of prayer. But Jesus also speaks of the pleasures of life. He says, "But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, that the day come on you unexpectedly." In other words, what he's saying is that because there's an overcoming Because there is a waiting, a looking, a waiting on God, it's so easy to become despondent. It's so easy just to take your eyes away and start to get involved in the world and in its ways. And no finer way of being drawn in than is by our families. Our families are a blessing, but they can also be such a distraction. Because they will try to draw you away, try and get you to compromise, try and get you drawn into their arrangements, organizations, what they're doing and what they get up to. It's so easy to just say yes to things and not go and seek God first, what he's saying. And then we wonder why we lose our peace. We wonder why we don't have much time during the day, that we're rushing, doing this and doing that, and we lose our peace and so on. It's because we're getting caught up with the world, this carousing, this drunkenness. It doesn't mean literally getting drunk. It could be, but it's just being drunk by the things of this world, intoxicated by it. And the cares of this life that Jesus says. It reminds me of the parable of the 10 virgins, the wise and the 5 foolish. And we note that the foolish, they, in the slumbering period and time, when they're sleeping, when the bridegroom comes, then they realize that they don't have enough oil in their vessels. It means the oil of preparation, the oil of anointing. They just didn't get enough. And so we see, being virgins, they're 10, born again. But there's a separation amongst those virgins, because the foolish virgins were not a watchful people. Those foolish virgins were not really men and women of prayer and intercession, which I've said that helps to make one watchful and discerning the things of this last day. This is why there's so much bad discernment and teaching, because it comes out of people who don't really, frankly, have much of a prayer life, and therefore it's not being revealed by the Spirit. To discern and test and see the things of this last day, flesh and blood cannot reveal it. It can only come by the Spirit of the Lord, our eyes being opened and shown. And prayer really, really helps with this. We look at the parable of the sower, talking of these cares and pleasures of the world. This is what it typifies quickly in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. Here, in one of the greatest parables that Jesus gave, the parable of the sower, here it typifies these sort of people. In Luke 8 and verse 14, he says here, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they hear, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." There are many that are like that. Many that go along with it for a while, get excited about the word and meetings and so on. But just the cares of this world, this life, is just too strong a hold. It's just attractive. And so they get drawn into it. Exactly what Jesus said back here in verse 34. And so, if you are drawn to the pleasures of this world, you can't be a discerning saint. You're not really a saint of real prayer and intercession. And therefore your discernment is very limited, very shallow. Well, moving on with being watchful, I'm calling this teaching tonight, Jesus Reveals the Importance of Watching. In verse 35, he says, "For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth." We see also some parables of this, or indications of this, in Revelation. If we can turn just to Revelation chapter 3, and verse 3. Again, this comes up. Revelation 3 and verse 3. And this is the church at Sardis, and this church is dead. And it says here in verse 3, remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and therefore if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Here we can draw again a parallel in what we have just read back in verse 35. And we also get another highlight of this in Revelation 16 and verse 15. Revelation 16 and verse 15. And here it says, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walks naked and they see his shame. Again, it's all about this watching, being watchful. And notice the admonition that is given to the church at Sardis. He says, I read this again, remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. So he's reminding those believers what they once were hearing, once what they once embraced. And he's saying, what you have heard and you are receiving, hold fast to it. And he calls them to repent. And he says, therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. Now, I believe the watchful, the wise virgins, are saints that repent. They keep close account with God. They don't let anything defile their garments. If they fall short or sin, they deal with it immediately. They're alert. They take sin, unbelief, seriously in their lives. And that's why we're called to repentance. And the church today, much of it, resists this call to truly repent. We're not just talking about a quick prayer. We're talking about an attitude, a heart, walking, being close with God, ever being covered, cleansed by the blood of Christ. And prayer, a prayer life, works this repentance. So again, watchfulness, which is connected with prayer. If you're a man or woman of much prayer, then you're also a man or woman who repents. Because so often you find in your praying, intercession, you are repenting, you are interceding, you're standing in the gap, you're asking God to forgive, you're asking God to forgive your nation, your government, or some sinning member in the church, or your family, or your rebellious daughter, or whatever it is. You're often in that attitude of prayer and intercession, calling upon the grace and mercy of God. It's an attitude of repenting, confessing, believing. All of that in nature causes and helps us to be a watchful people in this last day. Not only to be watchful, but be able to discern that which we're seeing. Because there's so much today about last time, end time things and revelation that is so confusing. But only the true saints, those wise virgins who are of prayer and watching, are the ones who really will be able to test and see the signs of the last days. And as a result of it, they are making themselves ready as the bride makes herself ready for the bridegroom. That is the only way she can discern and see and make herself ready. Because most are carousing. Most are flirting with the world. Most are wanting God, but also wanting the world. And they resist and fight against this separation, this sanctification, being set apart unto holiness and righteousness. Unless the church repents, unless the church really gets on her knees, she's never going to really know that change. And sadly, she will have to go through the great tribulation to be purged and tested. And nobody wants to be left when the overcomers are caught away up in the clouds with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody wants to be left in that hour when then the wrath of God goes forth upon the earth. But we know that the rest, the foolish virgins, will have to be purged and overcome through those horrendous conditions. This is why the deeper life is a way of escape. It's those who have an ear to hear now who are hearing what the Spirit is saying. It is those who humble themselves before God in repentance, realizing that we can't do it, only the power of God within us can cause us to overcome, to turn away from sin. Only the Spirit of God within us can separate us and sanctify us unto holiness. You will fail if you try and do it in your own strength, because it simply works. But it's as we repent and humble ourselves in the presence of God and call out to God for that change, then like any loving Heavenly Father, He's going to work that within us both to will and do for His good pleasure. For He said, it's not by might nor by power, it is by my Spirit. Only God can change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Only God can put a right spirit within us. Only God can put the affection for His Word and to keep His Word in our hearts. But that comes, brothers and sisters, as you also are a man or woman of prayer. Because it's that prayer life that's asking God, praying it into the heart for that change. This is why I am saying that watchfulness and prayer go hand in hand. Well, moving on in verse 36, Jesus said here, watch therefore and pray, always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Here it is. This is what our Lord said. Watch therefore and pray. And that's what I'm calling this teaching today. Tonight, Jesus reveals the importance of watching, praying. This is what we're talking about. And to the only way you can watch and discern and test and discern the signs of the times that we live in is if you're also a man or woman of prayer. You will not discern it otherwise. You'll just be a victim to so much confusion that is out there, with people trying to interpret the book of Revelation or trying to interpret these last days that we're living in and so on. The only way you are ever going to know it is if you also have a prayer life as well. So he says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. He means all these things will come upon the whole of the earth, and they will. So we pray and we watch, because we don't know the hour of His coming. And that is why it is so essential to be ready for the hour when He comes. The only way you will be ready is also the having that prayer life. And that is why you've got these people who try to predict the dates and the times of when the Lord Jesus is going to come. But all of that stuff comes out of vessels who don't really pray. Praying in the Spirit, that is. And so they're open to deception, confusion, and sadly many follow these false prophets. But if you're a man or woman of prayer, you're going to be protected, preserved. And you're not going to fall victim to these people who seduce you with words and false revelations and so on. Because you are watchful, you're praying. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24 and verse 42? Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 42. What does he say here? Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So Jesus doesn't say that you can't know. Jesus doesn't say, well, all of you are going to be caught unawares. I'm going to come, but nobody will be ready. No, he's not saying any of that. But what he is saying is that if you are also a man or woman that prays as well, then you will be aware. You will be ready. You see, Jesus was teaching the disciples the night he was betrayed. He was trying to teach them a real lesson. That they would be ready, the same as Jesus was going to be ready, the night when he was betrayed, when he called them to pray with them in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you all know the story, that they couldn't keep awake. Sleep took over. But Jesus carried on praying, interceding, supplicating, praying from the depth of his heart. What was he doing there? He was praying the victory into his life, into his heart. That prayer, that intercession, is what raised him from the dead. To overcome death, to overcome the flesh, the weakness of his flesh in his flesh life. It was that prayer intercession that caused him to face the cross and not run away and to triumph and overcome. And Jesus was trying to teach the disciples the power of prayer. And the reason that they didn't pray and stand with him, the result of it was they all ran away because they proved they were not watchful. They were not discerning. They were not ready. They couldn't stand in those conditions. And so it was fear that caused them to run away. You see, prayer is our biggest deliverance. Prayer deals with weaknesses in our lives. Prayer causes us not to run away, but to face it, to face the trials. But it also causes us to discern and to see and to be watchful. Well, we know the story, of course. Jesus calls back the disciples after he's raised from the dead. And like God, a God of mercy and grace, he'll always give us a second chance. But they certainly learnt prayer in their later walk and ministry and as apostles. The early church was a church of prayer. They met daily. They intercede. They prayed one for another. That is how they stood. That is how the early church turned the world upside down. Churches today are so fragmented. And the reason being is because they just don't really pray. Let's also see what Jesus said in Matthew 25 and verse 13. He says here again, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And yet, being watchful, praying, will get us to be ready so that when he does come for the overcomers, the wise virgins, it won't be a shock. Because by being watchful, praying, they are testing, discerning. The Spirit is preparing them for the coming of the Lord. And finally, in Luke 18 and verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. And he says here, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose hearts. And he goes on the parable about the persistent widow. So you see, prayer in this last day is so important because that we don't lose heart. And you know, one of the biggest battles that we are facing, so many believers, Christians that are facing today, is when is the Lord coming? We've heard it all before. The cares of this world. You know, family life, family commitments, procrastinating. And so it goes on. And we all of us battle this. We all of us at times battle this apathy, this depression. Sometimes we just feel we're the only ones. There seems to be nobody else. You take one step forward only to find yourself taking two back. It seems you've just got up and suddenly you're like, you're knocked down again. This is the enemy's way of trying to work depression and oppression over believers to cause us to procrastinate, to cause us to stop us from watching and praying. And you're always, when you find you're down and depressed spiritually, you'll always start turning to the world or turning to something else that can just give us a break. How many of us have just said to God, maybe not in so many words, but sometimes in our heart, Lord, just give me a break. I just need a rest. I just want to do my own thing. We've all felt like that. Maybe some of you tonight are feeling like that in your flesh. But then how much more should we just get into prayer? Just get into intercession, calling out on God. Lord, I feel I'm going under. I just feel the things of this world, the cares of this world, are just dragging me back into the world. But our prayer, causing us to be watchful, helps us to keep that separation. As I said at the beginning, it's impossible in the natural. We can't overcome in the natural. We can't walk this walk in the natural. It has to take the power of God from on high. That very power that raised Christ from the dead is the very power that has to work in our mortal body and our flesh to cause us to rise and overcome. And Jesus had to do exactly the same. That night in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had to pray and intercede and supplicate in his life, in his flesh. And all he then had to do was simply go to it. Do you know where the victory was won with Christ? Not on the cross, on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. Your victories are won on your knees when you pour it out before God. You supplicate. You call on the grace and mercy of God. That is your victory. That is your overcoming. Not trying to be good, not trying to read your Bibles more, or go to more meetings, or listen to more sermons. That's works, bondage. Prayer births it through. Prayer, the line to man, to God, that births through the victory. The power of God working on our behalf in our weakness. That is the only way, brothers and sisters. And if you take that seriously, if you want God to work that in your life, he'll do it. And through that, you will become a wise virgin. You will become a wise virgin that is watchful, discerning the things of this last day. And that when you hear these strange voices, strange revelations that come out, you will be able to test it and discern it. You will know if it's of God or not, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. God's sheep are also men and women that pray. That is why Jesus said, "Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." That is the key to it. The Apostle Paul, he was able to do what he did in his ministry because he was a man of prayer. He even prayed when he was in prison, praying for the churches, interceding. How important it is that we pray one for another, as it says in James, that we may be healed, that we may overcome. Your prayers, praying for brothers, sisters, is helping them to stand, to endure, that they can overcome, they will be ready. What a pleasure, isn't it? What a blessing it is to be able to pray for each other. Just to get in prayer that my brother, my sister, their faith will fail not. That they will be able to stand through that trial. Father, that you will keep them from deception, from heresy, that you will preserve their mind, keep their mind under the blood of Jesus. What great prayer when we pray and stand in the gap one for another. This is true fellowship. This is unity and oneness of the body of Christ. Because the body prays, intercedes, stands in the gap, prays one for another. That all helps us to be watchful, to be discerning, to test in these last days. Wish to God that more believers, Christians, could see this. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, that is what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart tonight to share with you. Jesus' words from Luke 21, verse 34, 36. If it's the desire of your heart tonight, then you're going to be ready. You're going to be that wise virgin. And when the Lord comes and calls the overcomers, the church, the bride, to himself, it will not take us like a thief in the night, like it will so many. But we have been prepared by the Spirit, ready for his coming, because it's been revealed, not by flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of God and by his word. Hallelujah. Father, again tonight, we thank you for our fellowship. We thank you for bringing us together into this room. Thank you for speaking into our lives. Lord, we cannot keep this or walk this, but we are not after the flesh, but we are after the Spirit, because we worship you in spirit and in truth. And may the Spirit do his work tonight in all of us who have heard this. Let none of us, Father, fall short. Father, I pray that the Spirit will make us ready, and cause us to be watchful, to be in prayer, to intercede, to supplicate. Let it be led by the Spirit. Father, help us to be a discerning people, to test that which we hear. Thank you, Father, that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Because we ask this in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
So my love for Washed us in his word.